If you would turn to Revelation, we are now starting the seventh chapter of Revelation. We're entering into what I call, and today's title is a break time. We will be reading from verses 1 through 8 today. This is John, the apostle, writing to us, and he says, "Then I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding back the four winds, so that he did not blow on the earth, or the sea, or even on any tree. And I saw another angel coming from the east, carrying the seal of the living God. And he shouted to the four angels who had the power to harm the land and the sea, 'Wait! Do not harm the land or the sea or the trees until we have placed the seal of God on the foreheads of his servants.' And I heard how many were marked by the seal of God. 144,000 were sealed from all the tribes of Israel. From Judah, 12,000. From Reuben, 12,000. From Gad, 12,000. From Asher, 12,000. From Naphtali, 12,000. From Manasseh, 12,000. From Simeon, 12,000. From Levi, 12,000. From Issachar, 12,000. From Zebulun, 12,000. From Joseph, 12,000. And from Benjamin, 12,000. God is now at a place of dealing with Israel. And shortly we will begin to do a study in commensurate with Revelation about Daniel and how God is going to deal with Israel one more time. Jesus said to Israel that you don't believe I'm Messiah, but the one who comes after me, you will believe. And he was talking about Antichrist. And what we have to realize is that every seal that he has opened, there was a catastrophe that was acquainted with it. And we saw 2 weeks ago that there was great earthquakes, and earthquakes so severe that all the continental shift, all the continents shifted. Everything was moved out of its place. And if that wasn't bad enough, the world was being pelted with comets and meteorites so severe that the people were trying to hide themselves in caves and holes in the ground, and they would not repent. This is coming upon the land. How many watch the Discovery Channel or the Science Channel? You know that what I'm about to tell you is true. They have found roughly about 380 different objects out there floating in space that could hit the earth at any time. Now imagine all 380 of them hitting simultaneously the earth. And it is going to happen, as God says. But there is a lull, because between the sixth and seventh seal, there is a respite. God has sent four angels out to hold the four winds back. And how many of you have done skydiving? No one's ever skydived. Thank God, me neither. But those who I've conversed with have said that you can't hear anything. It is so quiet, you can't hear anything. Not even the wind. Now imagine, at this point and juncture of history, four angels holding the winds back. No sound. You're on the earth, and it is so quiet, it is deafening. You are struggling to hear something, because sound moves by wind. And there's no wind. So quiet, it could drive you insane. People standing next to you and can't even hear them conversing. Then think about the intensity of the sun, because those of us who have endured some really terrible summers when there's no wind, we find a respite under a shade tree or under an awning or under an umbrella, because the intensity of the heat is so bad that you can suffer skin burns quite readily, and especially in the southern hemispheres or in the tropical areas, that if you are not accustomed to the intensity of the sun, you burn quite rapidly. And those of us that have gone to Florida, no, you burn quite rapidly. You cannot stay out in the sun more than 20 minutes, 25 minutes, without receiving some sort of burn. And without the wind, think of it like an ant being underneath a magnifying glass. And this is what's going to happen to every human person upon the planet. The intensity of it is going to be no joke. Well, Pastor, I'm saved. How do you know you're saved? Well, you know, I confess Jesus Christ. Okay, that's a good start. Are you living for Him? Well, you know, I still got some things I want to do. Remember, I am not judging whether you're saved or not saved. But my theology, and I make it real basic, you're only as saved as your relationship to Jesus Christ. I'm leaving it up to Him to determine what's going on. If you are disobedient to what He has told you, then you know what you need to do. And that is what? Repent. You see, this is not the time for the faint-hearted. We have the time right now. Today is the day of salvation. And God is trying to get people to wake up. Especially His people. Wake up. It's going to be so severe. And I'm trying to paint a picture, which probably is not very impressive, because you guys, you know, you're a tough crowd. That's all I can say. You're just tough. But think about it, though. Standing in the sun where you could be cooked alive. Can't hear what's going on. The sound is so deafening you could be driven crazy. And yet, all these things are going to happen. And people still are living like they got till tomorrow. And we've seen, God has shown us from Revelation 1 to Revelation 3:22. Judgment starts in the house. Judgment starts with us. We have to examine ourselves. Where are we in our relationship with Jesus Christ? You see, the wind is a picture of the Holy Spirit. If He's being held back from your life, whose fault is that? It's not God's. Is your life dry? Are you feeling the intensity of persecution or pressure in your life? Are you trying to escape what God is trying to do in your life and trying to get you to pay attention to? Or are you just here just to hear but not become obedient? I can't answer that for you. When Holly called me this morning, I just broke out in tears because I had been attacked by the enemy all week. And I had let go of my prayer life. And I had to repent before the Lord because I had not done what a shepherd's supposed to do, is pray for his flock, pray for protection. And I repented before the Lord of my slothfulness. See, it doesn't matter if I'm sick or not. It matters whether I'm going to fulfill my duties. I have a relationship and an accountability to God, and so do you. So do you. Things are happening in your life because you're not right with God, and neither am I. But I'm smart enough to repent, get it right, get it under the blood, and move on. You see, the things that happen in our lives is not by mistake, but design. We design it, and Satan takes advantage of it. Sins that we have not repented of gives a way for the enemy to crawl in and begin to start havoc in our lives. But it's that one's fault, it's that one's fault, it's that one. You're lying to yourself and you're operating under deception. You're deceived. What you sow, you're going to reap. And this is what's going to happen. Because the judgment of God is going to fall upon all who are disobedient to Him. Have you sensed a great shifting in your life? Have you felt like this? Everything underneath you is ready to shake and come apart from you? Are you feeling like you're ready to fall into it? It's by God's design. He wants you to be saved. He wants you to be sanctified. He wants you to be with Him forever and ever. But He is going to cause such distress in your life and in my life that He loves us so much that He is going to allow it to occur. so that you would finally realize that there is a God in heaven that loves you more than you could ever ask or imagine. And he will do things to prove his love for you, even allow you to go to hell. See, he doesn't send you there. You've already made that decision to go. The funny thing about this respite is that we don't know how long it's going to be. There is no document of time. We just know that between the sixth and seventh seal, God is going to give us a break. And I say it's like the calm before the real storm starts. He's trying to get us to realize, church, that in order for us to take what God has given to us, we have to abandon what we have already. It's no different than years ago when I preached about receiving the blessings. You know, receiving more blessings, you have to release what you have. But some of us are just got our hands up holding on to what we already have, and we're bringing everybody else down with it instead of just releasing and just grabbing a hold of more of God. And this is where the world is today. They got to have more of the world, got to have more of the world, and it becomes insatiable. It becomes insane because the wealth of this planet is not going to go with us. It's to be used by us so that we can further our Father's kingdom and to win the lost. And that's what we're learning in the foundations of kingdom finances. It's an attitude. It's an attitude. And I hate to say it, but we've got the wrong attitude about things. We still think that God is God in the box. We just crank it up and get him to perform for us. He's the genie in the bottle where we just rub it and he comes out and performs for us. Wrong. He's the master. We're the slaves. What is it you want us to do? Okay, we do it. But because of his great love, we're not slaves. We're his children. And we have an inheritance. And that inheritance is secure. And that's what all this shaking is all about. All this shifting that's going on. Why your life is dry in areas. Because you're not willing to give up that which God has been trying for maybe even for years, decades maybe, for you to surrender. And you're hindering your own relationship with your Father. Blaming everybody else. And you become so angry and frustrated that really all you have to do is just, there, have it. And we take it out on everybody. And we make them miserable. God is not one that we should take for granted, but we do. The whole world takes him for granted. The whole world thinks it's a joke. Young people think it's a joke. They think it's a joke because, you know, nothing serious has happened in my life. It's only beginning. You got the rest of your life. And if you're starting off bad now, I was 30 years old, thought I was the cat's meow. 30 years. Where are you now in your life? And you think you're the cat's meow. You think you got everything. You think you can fake everybody out. You can't fake God out. I don't care what you try. I tried it. I lived it. And I'm telling you, I'll live for him. Pastor, you know, you're just too intense for us. I'm trying to get you to understand that where you are, make your life count for something. Don't waste it. Don't listen to people who are negative in their opinions and their objections. Don't listen to people who fill your life with nothing but poison and toxicity. Surround yourself with people that speak truth and won't lie to you. Speak and love you for who you are, not what you can provide. Set your life up in such a way that it's pleasing to God, not to somebody else at your expense. Because you see, that's only going to last for a season. And then it's gone. feel the battle in your own life? Do you feel the warfare? Do you feel the intensity of it? I don't feel nothing, Pastor. Everything's good. Okay. You can believe that. Understand. It's you and God. It's not me and you. It's you and God. God is in control, and we've got to remind ourselves. He sees everything, He knows everything, and He can do everything. We can't. And this is the problem with the world today. The world thinks people like me are nuts. But we will have the last laugh. Because when all of us stand there, and we're going to see this later on, we're all going to stand there. What side are you going to stand on? It's determined by your attitudes today, and tomorrow, and forever. You see, I've heard it all. I've said it myself. When I stand before God, I'll spit in His face, and I'll tell Him a thing or two. Yeah, He'll listen to you. And then say, I never knew you. Out of here. And you will be out of there forever. Serving your life's punishment forever and ever, separated from Him. And there's a purpose. There is a purpose for this respite. You see, all of us who came to Jesus Christ, the moment we got saved, God sealed us. Turn to Ephesians 1. He sealed us. And this angel is going to seal 144,000 Jews. You there at Ephesians 1, verses 12 through 14. Paul wrote this, and he said, God's purpose was that the Jews were first to trust in Christ, would bring praise and glory to God. And now you Gentiles, you, me, have also heard the truth, the good news, that God saves you. And when you believed in Christ, He identified you as His own by giving you the Holy Spirit, in some translations, and sealed by His Holy Spirit, whom He promised long ago. The Spirit is God's guarantee, or down payment, that He will give you the inheritance He promised, and that He has purchased us to be with His own people. His own people, the Jews. He did this so that we would praise and glorify Him. Are you sealed? Are you sealed with the Holy Spirit? You see, if God has sealed you, then you should be different. Why? Because the seal marks ownership. And if you're still living your life, then you're not sealed. Or you're fighting God to surrender your life. And since He has marked you with His seal of ownership, you have to realize it's nobody but you and God. He owns me, lock, stock, and barrel. When He tells me I have to do something, then I have to do something. When I am disobedient, I must repent. And if it's no different for me, it's no different for you. I am entrusted with your souls. And I will give an account. But I will tell you the truth every time. According to the Word of God. This is what God says. This is what God says. This is what God says. So that when you stand before Him and He says, you know what? How come you're doing this? And you say, I never heard that before. God's going to say, flashback, put you on a video screen. Oh, that's not what He said. This is what He said that day. And it's exactly what I told Him to tell you. Why didn't you obey? Why didn't you believe? Oh, well, I was too busy. I was talking with my neighbor. I was texting my friends. I had more important things to do than pay attention to what the pastor was saying. Okay. Be not mocked. Be not deceived. If you're not operating in truth, you're operating under deception. And there is a lull that comes between the seal in your life and in my life, that we either do a self-examination and realize that God is trying to get my attention by allowing the enemy to attack us, to make something right, and to get right with him, or the worst condition is going to come upon us. And I'm afraid that for some of us, that may be true. And the fifth angel gave the instruction not to release the wind, but 144 Jews were to be sealed. You see, there is going to come a time, and again, this is that rapture theology that goes around that says the church will not be taken through tribulation. But we saw that when the fifth seal was broken, that the saints who were in the tribulation, they were under there crying out to God, how long are you going to wait for this nonsense to keep on going, God? You've got to justify yourself. You've got to do this. And now I'm not trying to upset your theology. I'm just trying to get you to understand that there's no escape. You've got to go to work just like I do. And if you don't know what your job is, then you need to spend a little time in front of Daddy and listen to what he's got to tell you, because each and every one of us has something to do, whether it's sharing the gospel with somebody, whether it's serving somebody, whether it's submitting under intense pressure to somebody that, you know, we don't want to. Understand, all authority is directed by God. And like Irene had said about headship, you know, we need to learn about headship. We need to understand the proper procedures of what God's talking about and how we're supposed to conduct ourselves under authority. And I'm afraid some of us don't want to live that way. Take it up with Daddy. Does your life reflect obedience and good things are coming upon your life in which there is more peace that you're experiencing, or is your life more tragically in upheaval? You see, the prophet said that there's going to be another shaking. And whatever falls from this shaking is not of God's, because what stays in the trees of this shaking is God's. Are you holding on to God, or are you just letting loose? Comes to those things. Are you sealed? Are you proud that he owns you? Or are you going to take another seal, which is the mark of the beast, out of Revelation 13? You see, there's only going to be two camps on the earth. The saints and the ain'ts. I know I'm part of the saints because we won the Super Bowl. But there's the ain'ts. I ain't going to do that. I ain't going to listen to you. I ain't going to have you tell me what to do. I ain't. And you don't have to. You don't have to. But one day you will stand before your Creator and mine, and you will give an account. Be assured. There's only going to be two people standing there. You and him. And you're going to give an account. And people are living like it's no big deal. I got tomorrow. Well, I hate to break it to you. There's two 15 and 16-year-old girls that were killed on train tracks this weekend because they didn't think that life was worth living. Chile just had an earthquake. One of the more prosperous nations in the Western Hemisphere. 8.8. They're not sure how many people were killed. You think you got till tomorrow. You could go across the pike. And praise God, God's hand of protection was there to buffet. Or else Holly could have been injured or worse, been killed. And we would call that killed in action, militarily. See, there's going to be casualties in this war. And casualties happen because you're willing to fight the good fight of faith. Those who are not willing to fight are put in prison. And they are abused. They are experimented upon. They are used to find what else is going on within the camps of people who are resisting. But there's only going to be two camps. And there is only two camps. God is going to reveal His judgment. And it is going to be harsh. And it is going to be plentiful. But He is going to deal with Israel one more time. He says in John 16, 7 through 11, He says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send Him to you. And when He has come, He will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin because they do not believe in Me." Do you believe in Christ? "Of righteousness because I go to My Father." Are you in right standing with Him? "I go to My Father and you see Me no more. And a judgment because the ruler of this world is judged." You see, if the Holy Spirit is pricking upon your heart, you need to repent. Because you're not guaranteed to walk out of here. There's people who can believe in Jesus Christ and still live a life contrary to Christ. And I pray for them every day that they get right with God in the church. I'm not worried about those outside, because when they come and they hear the good news, they will come, and then we will teach them how to live a godly and righteous life. You have heard, and you have worked, and then you've become lazy like I have in this past week. I have ceased fighting the good fight of faith because I was sick. But you know, the war still goes on. The enemy is still shooting at us, still trying to take advantage of us. He doesn't stop. These 144, it's interesting because not all the sons are there. The original sons were Reuben, Simon, Levi, Judah, Zebulun, Issachar, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Joseph, and Benjamin. But in this list, we find that Manasseh has taken the place of Dan. And what do you think could have possibly caused a whole tribe to be excluded from this seal of God? In Judges 18, 1 through 31, we find that Dan, first of all, did not take his inheritance. He did not take his inheritance. And because he did not take his inheritance, he was given to idolatry and rebellion. Idolatry and rebellion. But he's one of the sons of the promise. This is why I say once saved, always saved is not something you can hinge your guns to. Dan did totally opposite of what God wanted him to do. Was he a child of Israel? Absolutely. But he didn't inherit the promise. He didn't go in and fight for what God had given to him and then keep it. He rebelled. And so what we see is Manasseh. Now, where did Manasseh come from? He was one of the sons of Joseph. But Joseph had two sons, Ephraim. Why isn't Ephraim in here? Ephraim is not added in here because he was a hothead. He always fought with his brother. Now, that doesn't mean that he is not included into the promise. It just means that he was not named in here. He could have been named because of Joseph, his father, in this. And believe me, I've looked and I've searched and I'm trying to figure out, well, God, why? I mean, you know, why is Levi added to the promise? We know Levi, his inheritance was God himself. Right? He had no earthly inheritance in the promised land. He had God himself. We are a kingdom of kings and priests. If we do not include the priesthood into the inheritance, then we are just a kingdom of kings. But we are kings and priests unto our God. And Levi, because of his faithful discharge of his responsibilities in the temple, God saw fit to seal 12,000. Now understand, this is not just 12,000 of all of Israel. And there's roughly about 2 million people in Israel today. This is not, and I've heard this theology taught, that only 144,000 people are going to be saved. My Bible tells me that 144,000 servants are going to be sealed. That tells me that these guys and gals are going to go out and they're going to preach the gospel and tell the people that Jesus Christ is Messiah and you need to receive Him. Of that, only a remnant is going to believe their testimony. How sad. How sad. And today, Israel is one of the most secularized societies of the Orient. It's they're either super religious or secularized. And they're more secularized than being religious. But there are Messianic Jews there who believe in Christ and are actively working in this. I want to encourage you. I find it today is very, very timely that we're at a respite. The drama is going to continue. The seventh seal is going to be broken. And judgment is just beginning upon mankind. I want to encourage you. Take this time to look at your life. Look where you're going. And really get real with yourself. Tear down all the facades. Tear down all the smoke and mirrors. And get real with God. Because the only thing that is sure is that we are going to stand before Him. You determine what side of the fence you're going to stand before. Either you're going to stand for eternal damnation or you're going to stand for eternal bliss. For me and my house, we're serving God. We're going to go to the end. We're going to try to remain as faithful as we can because we have been sealed with His promise. We are His people. He has died for us to show us how valuable we are. He has poured out His blood to cleanse us from all our sins. He has restored us to a right relationship with God in Himself. It is Him. And if you look at Hebrews, once you have tasted all this stuff and you walk away, it is impossible to come back to repentance. Because then you tread down His blood as something common. And He is of royal blood, higher than any blood upon this earth. And you make it common. And you are not common. Your DNA is of higher worth. God has called you. He has given you His very Spirit. And now He wants your life so that He can give you His life to the fullest. Amen? Father, we just come before You, Lord God, and we thank You, God, that You know our frame. God, that we would take seriously to heart what You're saying. I know it's hard, God. I know it's hard for us to surrender. I know it's hard for us to break habits and sinful behaviors and sinful speech, sinful thinking. But God, nothing's impossible with You. Nothing's impossible, God. That when we don't see a way, You become the way for us, God, to escape. You are our escape pod, not the doctrine of rapture or pre, post, or mid, or tribulation, or whatever, God. You are. I pray we just get real with You, God. I pray, Father, that we would go and do that which You have called us to do, that we would cultivate a heart of love and compassion in knowing how You have given us Your heart of compassion and love. This ministry is being built upon John 13:35. They'll know You by the love You have one for another. But God, if we're lying to each other, if we're talking about each other, if we're gossiping or we're bringing dissension with each other, God, if we're at odds with one another, then we're no different than the world, God. And what would they want? Because they've already got that. Father, forgive us, Lord. Forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, God, as we confess our sins to You, which are many. And Lord, if we say that we don't have any sin, then we're saying that You're a liar, and it is impossible for You to lie. Lord, be gracious unto us, Lord. Be merciful to us. Be patient with us, God, as we surrender all areas of our lives to You, that we can be the most effective, influential, and impacting body of believers in this area, God. That we would go to the nations, God, but help us to go to our neighbors first. I ask this in Jesus' name.